Morning and welcome back to Financing Your Future. This is John Schaaf, Senior Vice President Investments of the Schaaf Tally Investment Group of Raymond James, conveniently located in the magnificently beautiful Bellevue Corporate Park. It's a great place to be, where our address is 200 Bellevue Parkway, Suite 425. And of course, our address is in Wilmington here at 19809. And Raymond James, as you know, is a member of SPIC or SIPC and the New York Stock Exchange. Had to get that out of the way real quick. So welcome. Good to have you back this morning. Again, today is Sunday, the Lord's Day. And it's a day I hope that you're on the way to your house of worship, or perhaps you're, have already been. You know, this time change has sort of messed us all up. So I don't know really if you're going earlier or not, but either way, hopefully you've been there or you're on your way to your house of worship this morning and have a time with the Lord and a time with your family this afternoon, maybe, or maybe take your bride or your husband out for lunch and enjoy these cooling days, shall we say, because it is starting to cool down as this time of the year that is as we head into the cooler months. And so, again, take a time today to enjoy, to maybe rest a little bit this afternoon, and just be with your family. Well, as I said, good morning. It's nice to have you with us. I do love this time of year. And I was telling the client about that this week. And he said, well, what do you like about this time of year? And I said, well, you know what? I'm glad you asked me. I said, first of all, this is the time of year where I can look back and I can reflect on all the things I can be thankful for that's happened over this year. Even the things that bring sadness to our hearts, like the passing of my father-in-law this year. He was 91 when he passed in February. But what a blessing he was to our family over the last 38 years that I knew him. And, of course, even in the passing of clients that I've had this year, sadness is there. We miss them, but it was a privilege and a blessing to be able to be a part of their lives and families over these years together. And, of course, this is a great time just to pause and to take a deep breath and, you know, just thank the good Lord for whatever has happened to you this year, or whatever, where you are in your life or your phase of life. This is, again, the time of year that I think we should stop and pause and say thank you. And, you know, we also don't forget we live in the best country on the planet, bar none. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that. And when you turn on the news or you pick up the newspaper, but we do live in the best planet, the best country on the planet. And again, we have much to be thankful for. So I just want to say this is the time of year that I like to stop and say and be thankful for that. And of course, you know, secondly, this is the time of year we start looking towards Christmas. And then you're going to say, stop, John. I know it. But I do love Christmas. And it's the time of year that I like to start getting excited about. I'm the kind of guy that starts pushing those Christmas carols on a little early. But my wife, I must tell you, has got the Hallmark Channel on. And I bet a lot of you do, too. And the Hallmark Channel has been playing Christmas stuff since July. So I'm not the only one that's pushing Christmas on, all right? But it is a great time of year. But it's not just the presents. I do like, it's a family time. It's time to be with friends. Food, of course, and cookies, wonderful things like that. But I'm not going to bring Christmas on too soon. Let's back up for a minute here. I just want to let you know this is a great time of year, the time of year I really love. It's a special time of year, you know, so it is November. So can you believe it? We're already into the second week of November, and we're, gosh, halfway through the fourth quarter of 2019. That's incredible. They always say time goes faster as you get more mature, as I say, and it sure seems to be true. This week, we saw some history being made again in the markets. We saw the Dow and NASDAQ make some new highs this week. That's exciting, especially when you see all the negativity that has occurred around those markets making these new highs. Wall Street Journal also had a comment this week on the high levels of cash, some of the highest levels of cash, according to Lipper data, that we've seen in over a decade is in savings accounts, $3.4 trillion, that's right, trillion, that's with a T, dollars in cash in spite of a record level market. Can you imagine? So we also have, again, we've got unemployment at a 50-year low. So that things, you know, this all doesn't sound like bad news to me. I mean, now doesn't? I mean, really, I don't think so. So the statistics that we look at still seem to be looking pretty good. So let's get back down to business, and we can start talking about some things like we continue to talk about what we talked about last week with Larry Adams' comment. He's our CFO and our chief investment officer of the private client group at Raymond James. And along with some comments from Scott Day, he's a senior investment strategist at the investment strategy group. Now, before I do, I'm going to try. First thing, you're going to ask me the same thing Jay asked me. Did you get your glasses, John? I said, yes, I do. And I do apologize for last week leaving my glasses in the truck, because as you do get more mature, your eyes begin to lose a little of their sharpness, especially with the print that these young folks put on these disclaimers. And they're so tiny and faded. I mean, you should see this. If I could show you this disclaimer, you could hardly read it, even with a magnifying glass. So this morning, very briefly, I'm going to go over this disclaimer. So here we go. All expressions of opinions by the Investment Strategy Committee reflect the judgment of Raymond James and Associates Incorporated and are subject to change. Information contained in this report was received from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy is not guaranteed. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No investment strategy can guarantee success. There is no assurance any of the trends mentioned will continue or that any of the forecasts mentioned will occur. Economic and market conditions are subject to change. Investing involves risks, including the possible loss of capital. Technical analysis is a method of evaluating securities by analyzing statistics generated by market activity, such as past prices and volume. Technical analysts do not attempt to measure a security's intrinsic value, but instead use charts and other tools to identify patterns that can suggest future activity. Further information regarding these investments is available from your financial advisor. Material is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute a recommendation. The S&P 500 is an unmanaged index of 500 widely held stocks. The Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, is a measure of the prevailing direction of economic trends in manufacturing. An investment cannot be made in these indices. Companies engaged in business related to a specific sector are subject to fierce competition, and their products and services may be subject to rapid obsolescence. There are additional risks associated with investing in an individual sector, including limited diversification. Now, do you feel better? I feel better. We got that out of the way. So now let's get down to business. We did talk last week, if you remember, about looking for optimism in a land of pessimism, and we were talking about the ISM index and the comments that Larry had mentioned and how he was cautiously optimistic looking forward at the indices. And now this morning, what I'd like to pick up is the market response and his more of a summary of that last week, of the comment that he made last week. But before I do want to remind you that if you'd like a copy of this or anything that we have talk about here, you can always give me a call at the office at 302-798-9113. Again, if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. And I also want to remind you, we have a webpage. You know, I take for granted this technology. I'm kind of, I like it, but, you know, I'm a more mature guy. So I do want to promote it. So we do have a webpage, and it's a great webpage. So take a look at it. It's shoftally.com. So you would look at www.shoftally.com. Take a peek at it. You'll see our bios, pictures, and we have some nice articles in there. And some other sources that I think you'll find informational. So take a peek at it. And of course, we do have a Facebook page too, as I've said in the past. It's restricted or a little bit restricted. And Joe does a good job of putting stuff on there. So take a peek at that. There's always has some timely information on there. And we can, if you like us, you know, thumbs up is the way to do it. And let us know. And that way you can keep up with us on Facebook. All right. After saying that, again, you know, if you'd like to see us, you can also, you know, I don't have that appointment setting capabilities on that webpage yet. Maybe I need to look at that. But we're still old-fashioned in that respect. If you'd like to sit down with us and have a conversation or go over some portfolios or any questions and things that you may have about some of the financial questions you may have, you can give us a call and talk to Susan or Joe or myself at 302-798-9113. All right. Let's talk about Larry's comments again this week as we finish up from his comments from last week. And actually, some of his comments are a little bit dated in the sense that the market hit new highs. We had a couple markets hit new highs this week, and he was talking about it in his comments that we were getting close. We were within 1%. Well, we've actually surpassed that this week. And he's talking about there was a 5% pullback this year. And, you know, we typically get 5% pullbacks. Usually get about 3.3 pullbacks on average dating back to 1990 per year. So it's not unusual for us to have, a 5% pullback, even though every time we get one, it's like the media wants to make it like, oh, man, here we go. We're going into a recession. We're going to the end of the world. But really, it's just a correction. If that's been a terrible word to use, but you see corrections or pause or pullbacks or they're not plunges, as the media would say, in most cases. Now, some cases it is. I won't argue that. But we do get them about 3.3 times a year, a 5% pullback or more. So, you know, given right now we have elevated uncertainty and the fact that the Global Economic Policy Uncertainty Index is at a record high, and so volatility will remain part of the fabric of the stock market. So one of his bullets here, he suggests, is we remain optimistic that the S&P 500 will return to record highs, which it did. Our targets are 3,053 for the year end and 3,127 over the next 12 months. Of the five metrics that we monitor on a regular basis, economic growth being one, valuations being two, corporate activity three, sentiment four, and seasonality being the fifth one, each of these continues to point to a more bullish view. Of particular interest, valuations and seasonality frame our short-term view. So Larry's still being bullish on the market going forward for the next 12 months. The price earnings level of the S&P 500 is close to historical average. However, given low interest rates and low inflation, we believe there's a scope for some small price earning expansion. In addition, 60% of the S&P 500 constituents have a dividend yield that is above the 10-year treasury yield. So you can get a higher yield in those dividend paying stocks than you can in a 10-year treasury. Now, they're not the same, obviously, but there's an opportunity there for some income at better than the treasury. Treasury yield. You know, from an economic perspective, the positive benefits of lower interest rates should not be underestimated. We are finally beginning to see a boost to the housing market, and lower interest rates should begin to support fixed investment. So that's going to be helpful again. Additionally, despite these elevated concerns surrounding economic growth, there has been a steepening in the yield curve as the 2 to 10 year spread is currently at the highest level, about 11 basis points since August of last year. So after saying that, seasonality is a strong tailwind. While the fourth quarter is historically the strongest quarter of the year, and it seems to average about 4.8% that seems to be the average, and it's about 80% of the time over the last 30 years. So you average about 4.8% historically for this quarter, and it's the last quarter of the year is typically up 80% of the time, and that's over the last 30 years. So the month of October historically starts with elevated volatility, and only to rally into the later portion of the month and into the end of the year. And that certainly seems to be the case this year. October was quite volatile. And then, boom, it rallied up. And the rally is still continuing through this week as of the time of this commentary. So it seems to be the case. Now, I must tell you, if my wife is any indicator of how the consumer is going to be going into this year, we're going to have a good year, and because she's already shopping for the grandkids for Christmas gifts. Maybe you have done the same things. I got to tell you, I catch myself same way. I was online this week and bought my sister a birthday present, combination Christmas present, brought to my door. So, you know, I got to tell you, it is convenient. So if we're in the indication of what to expect for the rest of the year, we probably will have a pretty good end of the year here. Good. We hope we have a better Christmas rally this year than we had last year, that's for sure. So Larry's bottom line is this, and that's the ISM manufacturing falling further into contraction territory has caught our attention, but it is important to remember that this index is not as powerful as it has been in the past. While both the headline and the subcomponents were weak, we should not directly assume a recession will follow within the next 12 months. While the decline in the manufacturing sector will pose a headwind to the overall economy, given manufacturing's declining influence on the U.S. economy, it is unlikely to drive the U.S. economy into a recession at current levels. With our chief economist, Scott Brown, remaining comfortable with his growth forecast for 2019 and 2020, we believe pullbacks in the equity market should be used as potential buying opportunities, particularly within our favorite sectors. And those sectors are information technology, communication service, and healthcare. We continue to view the S&P 500 levels at 2,800 to 2,850 to be particularly around the 200-day moving average of 2837 as ranges. We are comfortable adding exposure to the equity markets. So what he's saying is he's cautiously optimistic about the market going forward. Only he says it in a much more technical fashion than I do. But I'm in agreement with him. We are cautiously optimistic about these markets from what we see and around us, too. So we would continue to agree with him on that. Now, I thought I'd really briefly talk about Dr. Scott Brown, some of his comments, too, before we end the program today, just to give you a balance between the technical component, which would be Larry, and Dr. Brown on the chief economist side. So you have a balance of how these two fellows are looking at. So he's talking about the ISM Manufacturing Index, too, and as it fell into contraction in September. And so you had new orders and productions and factory employment continues to decline. The U.S. economy has often experienced what we call mini recessions in manufacturing without a downturn in the overall economy. The household sector fundamentals have remained strong. That's you and I, the household sector, which should continue to drive the economic expansion into 2020. However, the ongoing weakness in manufacturing is worldwide and presents an important downside risk to the growth outlook for next year. While domestic demand has remained strong, U.S. manufacturing activity has been restrained by soft global growth and the escalation in trade tensions. And boy, we've seen a lot of comments on that, even this week in the Wall Street Journal. I think there was some record-breaking tariff dollars came into the U.S. this past week. But trade tensions also are rising within the within the European Union. In his September 18th press conference, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell noted that our business contracts around the country have been telling us that uncertainty about trade policy has discouraged them from investing in their businesses. And that's true. Everybody's been a little bit more cautious there. Many firms report that they can't get price quotes or supply commitments for next year. That's due to the uncertainty that we hear from the tariff situation. So shift in policy, trade policy perceptions has been an important driver of daily stock market actions. And there appear to be a little chance that the U.S. and China will complete a trade agreement anytime soon. But financial market participants are hoping for a mini deal. And I think you saw some of that this week, or some indications of that in the Wall Street Journal this week. And one that would prevent trade tensions from escalating further and possibly lowering some tariffs slightly as a goodwill gesture. And again, as I saw in the journal this week, you see some commentary about the negotiations going on between China and the U.S., and they're trying to, it appears, make some small concessions going into the end of the year. It looks like that, and if that happens, it's just like Dr. Brown says here. So fears of a possible 2020 recession, driven largely by the inverted yield curve, have decreased in recent weeks, but have not disappeared completely. Investors will pay close attention to the data on employment and consumer spending in the weeks ahead. And again, unemployment has been coming in nicely, so that has not been as much of an issue as it had been. So those are the comments from Larry Adam, our chief investment officer, and also for Dr. Scott Brown, who's our chief strategist with Raymond, or chief economist with Raymond James. So those are our, I wanted to get you up to date on the quarterly updates, including, and I did have some commentary last week about from Dr. David Kelly from the JP Morgan. So there was some thoughts there too. Again, if you'd like to have a copy of that or something that we talked about here, you can always call us at 302-798-9113. Or if, again, if you're out of the area, it's 800-225-8043. So now it's like I'd like to start looking into what I'm going to be talking about from here to the end of the year. But before I go into that, I do want to make mention that, again, what we try to do is to help folks just like yourself manage financial situations. And it could be estate planning, where you're looking at how do we manage organizing the estate? How do we get it effectively to our children or our grandchildren or our charities? Or maybe you're looking at trying to, you're getting ready to retire and you've got some questions about what's going to happen from a cash flow perspective. Or how am I going to manage, losing pay, normal pay? You know, where does it come from? Either I don't have a pension or I've got to come, income's got to come from my portfolio. Well, please, you know, again, that's the things that we do. We can provide a complimentary meeting where we can go through this together and see if we can help you. And if we can, we'll be certainly glad to do it. And if we can't, we will be straightforward with you about it. And we don't fit everybody. Now, sometimes there's a situation where there's not a good fit. But you can always, again, give us a call. Give Joe or Susan or myself a call at 302-798-9113. And we can sit down for a complimentary office visit. And we can go over things. Just come in and we'll have a conversation. How's that? Okay. Now, what I'd like to do is sort of introduce what I'm going to be talking about probably for the rest of the year. There's a couple of thoughts that this is a very important time of the year as we come to the end of the calendar year for some things like tax planning, for some charitable gifting, and as I call it, legacy planning. And so that was my goal, is to be able to talk about some of these issues over these next few weeks and as we get into this time of year. And to give you some ideas of how to be timely, if that's a good way of saying it, because you'll run out of time if you're planning to do some charitable gifting before year end. You've got to be able to allow yourself time where you can process paperwork, do up whatever letters of instructions that may be needed, and to get resources or positions from a brokerage firm to your charity or to other or places where you are making some gifts. So, I mean, this is a great time for gifting to the children or grandchildren. And that way, if you want to capture a gift this calendar year, this is the time of the year that you would want to do that. Because again, it takes time to process these things. You have to have time for everybody to do their part. So I like to think about, you know, what kind of legacy do we want to leave? So I'm looking at four ways to create a meaningful family legacy. I'm also looking at six ways to create an enduring legacy through our community. Because again, remember, there's our community. We're part of a community. And I'm also going to be talking about six ideas for building a lasting career legacy. So those of us that are still employed, what kind of a career legacy would we like to leave? So it looks like I am just about out of time here this morning. And again, I want to thank my brother Jay here for helping us out and with his magic on this wonderful board. It looks like a Christmas tree in front of me. But before I go, I would like to leave you with this thought for the day. And I almost lost it this morning. Here we go. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too. Paulo Coelho. So until we meet again, this has been John Schaff for Financing Your Future.